Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
For those of you who may not have heard of Mr. Bill Aikens, simply put, he's a genius. He's a man with ideas that most of us could never conjure up in our wildest dreams. Mr. Aikens is an inventor. He's a gifted man with ideas and dreams along the lines of John Browning, Dr. Richard Gatling, and Mr. Samuel Colt. In my book, that's pretty solid company. Mr. Aikens has always been fascinated with rapid-fire weapons. I'm going to ask you to do some theater of the mind here, okay? Think about what I'm talking. I want you to envision this stuff. He spent years reading up on the inventors of such devices. He's a fan of old World War II vintage television documentaries. While watching footage of U.S. warships firing at Japanese kamikaze aircraft, get the video, seen this stuff, right? Come on, of course you have. Mr. Aikens took notice of the barrel recoil on the U.S. twin cannons, noticing, especially quoting, how one would come back and then the other would come back, unquote. He also observed that the barrel recoil on an old 1917 water-cooled Browning machine gun from the front view, and noticed that the, quote, barrel would come back a short distance within the water jacket and then forward again. That, of course, is what operates the weapon, its recoil. Mr. Aikens wondered if, now you got to listen to this slowly, okay? You gearheads get this. He wondered if the water jacket could be considered a stock, and if the barrel moved back a short distance, compressed the spring, and then came back forward again, why couldn't you have any firearm that's trigger attaches to the barrel receiver assembly where it's all one unit? Why couldn't that take the trigger back along with the barrel, which would remove the trigger from your finger? You follow me here? If your finger was held against a couple of ridges after it pulled the trigger, your finger was then stationary. You know what I'm describing here, don't you? You will in a minute. Of course, I'm describing a bump stock, essentially, a bump firing. We'll go there in just a minute in great detail. So when the barrel came back under recoil, it would remove the trigger from your finger, and then when the spring pressed it back forward again, the trigger would come back forward and contact your finger again, functioning the trigger once again and firing the weapon. Got it? And Bill said, that's how I actually got the idea. That was in 1996. Mr. Aikens took an SKS rifle, some springs from a Crossman BB gun, and a Dremel tool, cleaned out the stock, drilled a hole, and with a lot more intelligence than I have, tinkered some more, and voila. He took the device out to a friend's property where he set up a video camera. He put his finger on the tip of the screw, and I'm going to quote Bill Aikens, and when I did, it emptied the magazine at a rapid rate of speed, although it functioned the trigger once for each and every shot separately. I was quite happily surprised. What I'm describing to you was the beginning of the Aikens Accelerator, a device designed to rapid fire a semi-automatic weapon without turning it into a machine gun under current U.S. law. That is extremely important. Mr. Aikens contacted one of the nation's leading firearm attorneys, asked for a memorandum of advice advising that his device was not a machine gun, but merely a method for accelerating the rate of fire of a semi-automatic without turning it into a machine gun under federal or state laws. Aikens was told that his device fell under the same category of some other similar devices that have the same functionality, such as the Hellfire. Having received the information he requested, Aikens went forward with a patent search. Now, he went to USF. He's from Pasco County, Florida, my neck of the woods right there, my hometown in Tampa, Florida. He went back to USF Library and did what he said was known as a poor man's patent search. He searched all through the patent records, and much to his surprise, nobody had one. So he then contacted a patent attorney in Ohio, had some professional drawings of the device completed. He applied for a patent in 1998, and in 2000 was granted his patent from the U.S. government. So at this point, Bill had spent approximately $10,000 of his own money, not including his own time. With the patent in hand, he began contacting various firearms manufacturers in search of someone to build his device. During this time, his attorney introduced him to someone on the West Coast who was interested in his device and its subsequent manufacture. So after a lot of discussion, the Aikens Group, Incorporated, was formed in Oregon. Now, based on that patent application, Mr. Aikens and his partner began prototyping. A metal prototype of an SKS rifle stock was made, and it was sent to the ATF. The ATF then evaluated and tested the prototype and informed the Aikens Group afterwards that the test fire had resulted in, quote, several screws coming loose from the stock. The ATF sent it back, claiming that they could not get it to fire more than one shot and that it, quote, wasn't a machine gun. So Bill and his partner inspected the returned stock and noticed that there was no damage as described to them by the ATF. It appeared, actually, in fact, that the screws in question had been intentionally removed and taped to the stock. His theory is that the ATF, quote-unquote, tried to make this not work. So wanting more clarification, the partners at Aikens Group, Inc., again contacted the ATF and were told this time that the Aikens accelerator was not a machine gun. The ATF agreed to put its findings in writing, which they did. Now, I want everybody to hear me correctly. The ATF put into writing their findings that the Aikens rapid fire device was not a machine gun. They had written that despite the fact that the screws had dislodged, they fully understood its method of operation, and the device was not considered a machine gun. So the letter from the ATF stated that the device was not a machine gun, and then written statements that the ATF fully understood the device's method of operation satisfied the Aikens Group's attorneys, so the partners proceeded with production. An engineer then approved on Mr. Aikens' device slightly by reducing some friction, which then allowed the device to operate on a firearm that produced less recoil. Now, you heard me talk about this last week. So the company then began producing the accelerator using a Ruger 10/22 stock. They sold around 200 of those devices. So it was recommended that the partners then begin using injection molded stocks. And after much discussion, Aikens put his property up for a $65,000 loan to produce the molds. The Aikens Group had a website and began marketing for several months in print ads. The injection molded accelerators were selling really well. As Donald Trump would say, they were selling very, very fantastically well. Things were looking up and the company was in the black in a very short time. Now here come the feds, right? Here come the feds. So things were looking good. Sales of the Aikens accelerator were great. Very, very great, according to Trump, as he would say. Then the Aikens Group received a letter from the ATF in which the company was ordered under threat of prosecution to, quote-unquote, cease and desist all sales and to turn over all inventory and their entire customer list. The customer list by the ATF. Now, you know I refer to them as the BATFE, right? The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Expletives, because it's easy to get angry when you talk about the ATF. So keep in mind, the Aikens Group was not selling a firearm, only an ATF-approved rapid-fire firearm accessory. The ATF was now saying that the device that they had twice approved in writing as not being a machine gun was, in fact, a machine gun. Without a hearing of any kind, the ATF was overruling their own previous decision. Now, we both know that this is a single bureaucrat at the ATF. Aikens had his theories about what caused the ATF to reverse its original decision here and who may have been responsible for the reversal. So the group attorney, the Aikens group attorney, sent another letter to the ATF asking that they please review their previous findings and find that the device does in fact conform to the letter of the law and reverse the decision which halted sales of the accelerator. Well, it was a 14-page letter, was answered with one paragraph response stating that the ATF noted the attorney's argument, but the ATF's position had not changed. Money was running low. The Aikens Group was having a difficult time paying a nationally recognized attorney, but they pushed forward in the attempt to reason with the ATF. However, the ATF, doing what they do, dragged their feet, took months to respond, thereby effectively shutting down production while the Aikens Group was drowning in a cesspool of strong-arm government bureaucracy. This is the U.S. government at its worst. Friction between the partners of the Aikens Group began to worsen. Mr. Aikens wanted to civilly disobey what he believed was unlawful action by the ATF regarding the disassembly of the device. There were threats against them and their customers. The partnership and the company began to fall apart due directly to government entity that does not appear to be answerable to anybody. Aikens contacted his senators and U.S. representatives, who would have, according to him, low-level staffers respond with nothing more than what the ATF had already told us. He complained about it. Senator Bill Nelson of Florida, who has an F rating with the NRA, by the way, regarding his support for Americans' firearms rights. Go figure. They did nothing to offer to assist him. And it's important to point out here that the ATF approved the device based not upon the caliber of the weapon upon which it was installed, but upon the device's method of operation. Mr. Akins contends that the ATF was lying to the senators and congresswomen's offices by telling them that the device it had approved was not the same as the one the company was selling, when in fact it was. No help from the NRA, offered little support for the same reasons, believes Mr. Akins, and it appears everyone, according to him, is chicken little about any device that goes rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat, even though it conforms to the letter of U.S. law. The ATF did apologize to Akins through Congresswoman at the time, Ginny Brown Waite, admitting they had made a mistake, but they claimed the mistake was that the device should never have been approved in the first place. So according to Bill Akins, so we get no due process of law, no compensation, or any hearing of any kind, just arbitrary actions. When we come back, Bill Akins, the original inventor of the bump fire device, will be here to explain this whole mess. We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and then he's the one who gets arrested. Thanks to our court system, this happens a lot. And that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. Here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to concealed carry and home defense confidence. It's called the 2017 Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide, and it's from the U.S. Concealed Carry Association, and it's 100% free. You'll learn how to detect attackers before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, the safest and most dangerous places to sit in a restaurant, how to safely own and store a gun, even if you have little kids, and a whole lot more. It's 164 pages and comes with a bonus audio version so you can listen in your car. I recorded it. This life-changing guide is 100% free, and for a limited time, you'll also get a bonus home defense checklist. Visit armedandresponsible.com right now for 100% free instant access. Once again, that's armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. You know, you hear it in the news all the time. Good guy uses a gun to protect his family, and he's the one who gets arrested, okay? The 2017 Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide from the United States Concealed Carry Association is here. It's 100% free. I tell you every day, I'm going to tell you again now, it's very cool. Get it. You're going to learn a ton. 164 pages. How to detect attackers before they see you. That means how to avoid an ambush, by the way. How to survive a mass shooting. The safest and most dangerous places to sit in a restaurant. Most dangerous. It's great. How to responsibly own and store a gun, even if you have little kids, and a whole bunch more. 164 pages, bonus free audio version that I recorded for you. The life-changing guide is 100% free for a limited time. You also get the home defense checklist for free. Visit armedandresponsible.com right now. 100% free access. Armedandresponsible.com. Armedandresponsible.com. Let's go to the Aikens Accelerator Daily Defense Hotline and talk with Mr. Bill Aikens. Bill, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I'm proud to be able to call you a friend. You and I go way back. Oh, let's reminisce for just a second.
Yes, we do.
We go back to the beginning of the bump fire device, and we're going back to, well, when you and I met anyway, the bump fire device you came out with the patents you began working on in 96. You and I met in about 2007. I began hearing your story. The Tampa Tribune then ran a piece on you, and I reached out to you, and that's where our relationship developed. Now, I got to tell you, when the story about Vegas was breaking, literally breaking, I immediately thought about you. I went, oh, my gosh, I got to talk to Bill, because I knew immediately what the media was going to do. Okay, and so did you. I know you did, from down there in beautiful Pasco County. And I can only ask you this. What went through your mind?
Well, what went through my mind at first was I was called by a reporter, and I was asked if I thought that that sounded like full auto fire or bump fire. Mm-hmm. And I had only heard, I had only just seen it. I had just seen this on television. And I was hearing it through the microphone on a cell phone. And I told him that I actually had no idea. I couldn't tell based on what I had just heard, that one part that I had heard. And I couldn't. I actually could not distinct whether it was full auto fire or bump firing with what I had heard at that time. And so when he asked me what I thought, I told him, honestly, I don't know. Because I don't know if it was full auto, bump fire, I have no clue. And they kept pressing me, and I said, if I told you anything otherwise, I'd be being dishonest. I actually don't know. That's what was happening when I was first contacted about this, and also when I first heard it on TV. Of course it went through my mind, could this be bump fire or is this full auto? But I honestly could not tell at the time.
Well, you know, I couldn't either. I know what it sounded like, but then there's a lot of dynamics in play. You're on the 32nd floor. There's a lot of glass. There's a lot of buildings. There's a lot of echoes. There's the sound of the bullet breaking the sound barrier, the crack, 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 the pop, pop,
exactly.
Pop, pop, pop.
This
is all going on at the same time. So you got these three dynamics in play here.
There's
Did it sound
sounds.
Like automatic? Go ahead, please.
There's what is known as muzzle blast and ballistic crack. They taught us that in the Marine Corps.
Tell everybody what ballistic crack is.
Well, muzzle blast is the sound of the gases exiting the barrel.
Right.
Ballistic crack is the sound of the bullet exceeding the speed of sound.
Okay,
it's actually like a jet sonic boom, but in miniature. So,
right.
so you actually get two sounds. You get muzzle blast and ballistic crack. And like you said, with all the buildings and the reflection of sound, it was really difficult to ascertain whether it was bump fire or full auto fire. It did run through my mind, but I thought, I'm being asked this by a reporter. He's asking me to give him a definitive, is it or isn't it? And I had to be honest and just say, I don't know.
It was impossible to tell. It really was truly impossible to tell at the time. No doubt it sounded like rapid fire that a human finger was going to have difficulty doing with. And I knew immediately that the media was going to go into a frenzy on this. That was instantaneous.
Of course.
But I thought about you immediately because I know what you went through. I know your history with this. I studied it with you very well. We talked about it at great length. And I wrote a very lengthy piece about it. And I'm proud to say it's one of the best pieces I've ever written in the last 15 years. Because of the detail and because of the information you were able to provide, I want you, as the man who created the device, invented the device yourself, after what I described in my opening monologue, the difference between the two. What is the difference between bump fire and fully auto?
Okay. Your opening monologue was dead on. That was absolutely correct, everything that you said. I just have one thing to add to that. Not only did I build the SKS prototype stock as one of my first test beds, but I also built a stock for the MAC-90 rifle, which is the civilian version of the semi-auto-only AK-47 rifle. Mm-hmm. And so I actually had two prototypes that I videotaped that day. I had my wife videotape it. I fired the SKS first. It was the first one to fire, and it emptied it out so fast it just totally, you know, surprised me. In fact, you can almost see the look of surprise on my face in the video. And I only had a 10-round mag on it. I think I loaded 5 rounds in it, if memory serves me, just, you know, to see. And it went, and they were gone. And then I broke out the MAC-90, and it did the same thing. And I'm like, wow, you know. So I was very surprised that, you know, my cobbled-together stocks that I had made in my garage actually were working, and working exactly like I envisioned to do. What was your question again? I just wanted to add that to your monologue.
There was actually two
original prototypes. And also, okay, those two are the two that are drawn in actual drawings in my original patent.
Okay. Well, to answer the question before we go to the break is important. I want it to come from you, not from me. I've talked about it this week. But it's important because it sets up the next questions that we're going to have. And you and I are going to have a really, really feisty conversation here. It's going to be good. Listen, you do not want to go away, believe me, because we're going to open your ears and eyes to a few things. But the difference between the bump fire and full auto, specifically in less than 60 seconds, is what?
Okay. And according to the NFA, it uses the word function, not pull. And it says that, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's still the same. It says that a full automatic is one in which the trigger is functioned once and fires more than one shot. Semi-auto is when the trigger is fired, is functioned separately once for each and every shot fired. That's in the National Firearms Act. That's their wording. They actually define a machine gun by the function of its trigger, and that's
okay. All right, when we come back from the break, I want you to clear the record for what you're hearing from Republicans, Democrats, Sean Hannity, NRA. I'm going to read you something from Marion Hammer, a statement from her. I'm going to read you the NRA statement, and we're going to settle the score here. We're going to set the record straight here once and for all about the truth of this device from the man who invented it. No more garbage and no more gobbledygook that you hear on the news. This man invented it. We'll be right back with Bill Akins.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right. Powerful stuff today. Let me continue with Mr. Bill Akins. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Let's define something quickly here. Modify versus convert. Modify versus convert. Convert would mean to alter the physical or chemical nature of a property, especially in manufacturing. That's important. That's from, now, to change from one form or function to another, converted the attic into a bedroom. To alter for more effective utilization, convert a coal furnace to oil, to appropriate without right. What that means is, obviously, that there has to be some physical modification to convert, doesn't that? Isn't that? Did I read that right?
Sounds right to me.
Okay. Let me go to Merriam-Webster. I read you something from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. All right, let's go to Merriam-Hammer, who might want to read Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. Let me put it that way. Okay. She opens up an open letter to, and keep in mind, I love Merriam-Hammer. Love the Hammer. Love what she does. But we're formulating different opinions here, and we're going to go here now. She says, the bump stock device used by the killer in the Las Vegas shooting converts a semi-auto rifle to a full auto rifle. Is that a true statement, Bill?
No.
Now, based on the definition I just gave, it would
be.
Go ahead.
For several reasons. Number one, I have heard people use the word convert and heard people use the word modify. For instance, I heard one news anchor that I never miss an episode of, and I like him very much, say that bump fire stocks modify a semi-automatic firearm to fire like a machine gun. Well, there's two mistakes within that same sentence. Okay, number one, there is no modification to the firearm. Nothing about the internal sear mechanism, the hammer, the trigger, the sear, nothing about that has been changed. There has been no modification to the gun. It's just been placed into a different stock with no modification done to the firearm of any kind. That's the first one. The second one is when they say makes it fire like a machine gun. That is untrue because, again, in the National Firearms Act, it defines a machine gun or a semi-auto by the function of its trigger. So when they say it's been converted or modified to when it's put in the stock, it hasn't been converted or modified. That's incorrect. You would have to take the gun apart and put full auto parts in it if it would even accept those parts in order to modify or convert it. And when they say makes it fire like a machine gun, well, the way that a firearm would fire like a machine gun is only if it was a machine gun, which means you would pull the trigger and hold it, or function the trigger, as the NFA uses the word function rather than pull, because there's many different ways to function a trigger. You can pull a trigger, you can push a trigger, you can rotate a trigger like a Gatling gun crank. So it would have to conform to the NFA's wording of one shot per single function of the trigger, which is semi-auto, which my bump fire stock did, and all bump fire stocks do, or it would have to conform to the NFA's description of fires more than one shot per single function of the trigger, which no bump fire stock does.
Okay.
So that seems to be a common mistake that people make. Here's why I think that happens. They have grown up watching movies and things on TV and then maybe even seeing real machine guns being fired, and they hear them go rat-a-tat-tat. They hear a bump fire stock go rat-a-tat-tat, and they naturally draw the conclusion in their minds it must be the same thing, but it's not.
All right, so let me ask you this, because I want to make sure it's not just nuance here. I got an email from somebody. His name is Craig, and Craig says, Mark, you will probably get many emails on this, but I thought I'd send one to just in case. And he's referencing a conversation I had with Lee, the gun writer, Williams, right down in your neck of the woods, coincidentally, a little bit south of you in Sarasota, writes for the Herald Tribune. The stock does not have a spring in it for the rifle to recoil into. That would make it illegal. The original version did, and ATF claimed it was illegal, but removed the spring and it was okay. Truth to that statement?
There's nothing in the NFA that says that you can't have a spring push the trigger back forwardly into battery after it's been functioned to fire once. Every firearm's trigger has a trigger return spring. Even an 1873 Colt Peacemaker has a trigger return spring. Because otherwise, if you didn't have a trigger return spring, when you pull the trigger would stay to the rear. It mm-hmm. wouldn't come back forward to reset for you to pull it again. So every single firearm has a trigger return spring. And for the ATF to try to say that my spring that pushed the entire action back forward following recoil made it a machine gun is completely disingenuous. There's nothing in the NFA that says that I can't have a spring that returns my trigger back forwardly again. In fact, the Hellfire and the Hellstorm devices were nothing but a spring that put extra tension against the back of the trigger, biasing forwardly against the trigger. So those weren't banned. In fact, my attorney, when I sued the ATF, brought these questions up, and they were just ignored. The ATF, I think, said something to the effect of, they weren't talking about that one at this time. They were talking about mine. So basically what happened was is that I invented a way that improved upon bump firing to where instead of having to hold the stock down by your side to where the whole stock and the whole gun and everything would recoil back a little bit, and it was very inaccurate, I invented a way to where you could put the stock into your shoulder and the action, the barrel, the receiver, the trigger group, and the magazine recoiled within a stationary stock. And mm-hmm. when it recoiled under recoil, it compressed a spring, which then shoved it back forward again so that the trigger was functioned again by your finger, one shot for each function of the trigger, exactly like the NFA says. So really, the spring is irrelevant. The ATF claimed, they came out with their own determination that isn't even in the law, saying that you must consciously pull the trigger. And that since when I pulled the trigger the first time, their ruling said that initiated a sequence of fully automatic fire until the finger was removed. My attorney asked them, removed from what? And they never responded. Okay, what they were trying to put in the judge's minds, and also in the public's mind in the ruling, was that they were trying to make it sound like that my finger was depressing the trigger constantly, when it was not. What would happen is my finger, as you described in your opening statements, my finger would be stabilized against a ridge, or in the case of my earliest prototypes, a screw, so that my finger became like a stationary bar. And then when I functioned the trigger the first time, the entire mechanism, the barrel, the receiver, the trigger, and the magazine, would recoil a short distance rearward in the stock, compressing a spring. That would allow the trigger to reset, and then the spring would decompress and shove all of that back forward again within the stationary stock, and it would contact my finger again and be functioned again once separately for each shot fired. Reporters seem to be thinking, because the ATF is telling them so, that the spring made my device a machine gun. Where in the NFA does it say that a trigger cannot have a return spring? Indeed, they all do.
All right, let me stop you right there, and I'm going to read this. I've got 30 seconds. Let me read this. You're no NRA and you, okay? Well, first of all, I want to point out, you're talking about Sean Hannity earlier, and I know Sean, and I want to just make it very clear. It doesn't matter to me who is. We've got to get this terminology correct. It doesn't matter who it is. There's too much at stake. There's a slippery slope here that the left is using, and you're the one that created the device. They want to try to use this type of device to come after a hell of a lot more than this device. Nancy Pelosi made it very clear. Now, I'm not going to have enough time to read the NRA statement, but I'll read just one line from it when we come back, and we'll talk to Bill about support within the gun rights community. Back right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at SAF.org.
saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
All right, head over to armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com. Grab that free, 100% free, 164-page 2017 guide, including the free home defense checklist. Learn all the things I've been telling you about all week, okay? Armedandresponsible.com. You know where it is. Go check it out. I want to get back to Bill Akins before we wrap up this hour. Bill, so much to talk about, so little time. I'm going to be bringing you back on a subsequent program because I'm not going to be able to get to everything I want to with you today. But let me go to modify. Again, Merriam-Webster's dictionary. To make minor changes, had to modify his plan to make basic or fundamental changes, and often to give a new orientation or to serve a new end. Now, let me go over here to the National Rifle Association's statement on the bump fire stock. I won't read the whole thing, but I will say this. In Las Vegas, reports indicate that certain devices were used to modify the firearms involved. Despite the fact that the Obama administration approved the sale of bump fire stocks on at least two occasions, the NRA is calling on the BATFE to immediately view whether these devices comply with federal law. The NRA believes that devices designed to allow semi-automatic rifles to function like fully automatic rifles should be subject to additional regulations. Bill, do you care to comment on that? And keep in mind, between modify and convert, and I know how you feel about this, so I'm just going to turn it over to you. Go ahead.
Well, it's wrong on several points. Number one, it does not modify the firearm. Okay? In order to modify, even the ATF admitted that it did not modify the firearm on bump fire stocks. The only thing they tried to present was that my spring made it work automatically. But it didn't, because the trigger was still functioning once for each and every shot fired. When they said in their ruling and also in their arguments to the court when I sued them, that it once the trigger was initiated one time, that it set up a sequence of automatic fire that continued until the ammunition feeding device was empty or the finger was removed. But they wouldn't say remove from what, because they wanted to give the impression that I was holding the trigger down when I was not. The trigger was functioning once for each and every shot fired, exactly like the National Firearms Act stipulates, okay? So there was no modification to the gun. It was just a different stock that allowed me to fire at a faster rate of speed without it being the technical designation given a machine gun in the National Firearms Act. And I didn't find a loophole, and I didn't find a way around the law. I conformed to the law. They just didn't like the fact that somebody conformed to the law that basically obviated the unconstitutional law to begin with. And that's what happened. And when I presented my attorney presented my case in front of a circuit court judge, Clinton appointee, it didn't matter. They violated the Administrative Procedures Act, where they didn't give me a hearing, didn't give the public time to put public input in. Anyone affected by their ruling was not given any chance at a hearing whatsoever. That's a violation of federal law. The judge just dismissed that like it was no big deal. So did the appellate court. And it didn't seem to matter when my attorney described to them it was one shot per single function of the trigger for each and every shot fired. Didn't matter. What they saw here was a paradigm shift. They saw that somebody had taken bump fire and made it controllable and able to be shouldered. So there was no modification to the firearm. Whenever reporters or anyone says the gun's been modified and it fires like a machine gun, no, it doesn't fire like a machine gun, because a machine gun fires more than one shot for each pull or function of the trigger.
Okay, now let me stop you there.
And mine fires one shot for each function of the trigger.
Now let me stop you there with two questions. First off, and I'll ask them together, and then I'll allow you to answer them. If I could move my finger fast enough to replicate the bump fire stock, would the ATF rule my finger a device that modifies a firearm, number one? And number two, how do you answer to someone who says, well, it doesn't really make any difference because the gun's firing faster than it should have been, even though if I could move my finger fast enough, it would still be a semi-automatic rifle? How do we answer both of those?
Okay. Number one, the human being cannot be part of a firearm. Okay? They're a human being. They're not a part of the mechanical device. So they cannot be listed as part of the firearm, part of the trigger, sear assembly, hammer assembly, any of that. They cannot be listed as part of the gun. That's impossible. So that fails on the logic right there. And then to the person that would say, well, it doesn't matter if it's really full, if it's technically semi-auto, but it's firing at a speed that approximates a full auto, to that person, I would say, well, number one, the NFA is a violation upon the Second Amendment to begin with. Okay, there is nothing in the Constitution that gives Congress the authority to regulate firearms in any way. In fact, it's just the opposite. Our Second Amendment prevents the government from regulating firearms and says shall not be infringed. And they infringed upon it in 1934, 1968, and again in 1986. And every firearms law, whether it's state, federal, county, city, every gun law that violates our Second Amendment is an infringement. But we've gone for 80-some-odd years now under this new normal, and people have been raised under this normal. They've been told machine guns are illegal. I saw Chris Matthews, Mr. Thrill Up His Leg, on TV just the other day, saying that machine guns are illegal. No, they're not. Machine guns are legal. They're just highly regulated, okay? So the reporters are getting it all wrong. The liberal reporters are saying things that are inflammatory because they have an agenda. They want to disarm Americans, okay? The conservative reporters don't really understand it. And so they're saying what they've been told or what they've heard. Like, I just read an article today somebody wrote saying that the ATF had told them that whenever you pull the trigger, well, that the NFA says that when you pull the trigger, the NFA doesn't say pull the trigger. The NFA says function of the trigger. There's a distinct difference. And also the ATF evidently told this reporter, if he in fact even talked to him, he claimed that he did, that my spring made it a machine gun. But yet he didn't go into any detail about how my spring made it a machine gun according to the wording of the NFA.
Okay, now I have to stop you there.
All this thing does is shove it back forward.
I have to stop you there because we've got about a minute to go. And the reason I asked about the finger, and I love being able to take this full circle with
you.
Well,
they made a shoestring. They said a shoestring would make it a machine gun. So I don't know. I don't think that they could say that the finger would, your finger moving very rapidly could make it a machine gun. But you never know.
No, but here's my point. Here's my point. If my finger could do what your device did, because now we know a semi-automatic weapon can go rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. If a bump fire device is attached to the weapon, somehow forgetting the phraseology that we want to use, boy, they can't ban my finger. They can ban a device. They can't ban my finger. So if they can't ban my finger and my finger could do that, the logical step is to ban what?
The semi-automatic weapon.
And that's the ultimate goal here, isn't it?
Of course it is. That is the ultimate
goal.
And the NRA is quite willing to throw bump fire stocks under the bus and give them up as a sacrifice because they did not want Congress having to look at this. They wanted the ATF to ban them, even though the ATF just issued a statement from one of their there was a lady spokesperson from the ATF that said that these bump fire stocks conform to existing federal law. It was right on.
All right, now
everybody heard it.
I got to stop you right there.
Now you couldn't get Wayne LaPierre to. Wayne LaPierre saw that the ATF wasn't going to, you know, do anything about it because they can't. Okay.
All right. Bill, I have to stop you, brother. I have to stop you. We're getting ready to hear music. I want you to hold on to the phone, though. I want to get some information from you with Sean, and then I'll call you later privately because I want to continue the conversation. Here's the ultimate goal. The slippery slope we're talking about here is the banning of this device because they don't like what it, quote-unquote, does to semi-automatic fire. The moment this device is banned, guess what? The semi-automatic firearm can still fire at that rate. What's next? Your guns are next. Bill Akins, Akins Accelerator, until we talk, carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. We're going to have Bill back on. Great program. See you tomorrow. The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.